ألا إن أولياء الله لا خوف عليهم ولا هم يحزنون الذين آمنوا وكانوا يتقون لهم البشرى في الحياة وفي الآخرة لا تبديل لكلمات الله ذلك هو الفوز العظيم. Four people were traveling, four different languages, and they got 500 rands. They all somehow agreed to just buy one commodity and enjoy it. So one person says, I must have grapes. The second is saying, what are you talking about? Alab, inab. And the third person is fighting, no ways. Alab, angur. And the fourth person is saying, hey, all scrapped here. I must have darak. Darak is the Hindi word for grapes. They are fighting it out, arguing, swearing. One person came across and he says, incidentally he understood all the four languages. So he said, I'll sort all you people out. So he took the 500 rands, he bought a nice beautiful box of grapes. As they saw it, all of them jumped. So all wanted the same thing, but each expressed himself in his language. He in English, he in Urdu, he in Arabic, he in Hindi or Gujarati, right? But all wanted the same thing. We all are looking for one thing, be it the poor, be it the wealthy, be it the healthy, be it the sick, be it the alim, be it the jahil. We all are looking for one and the same thing. And the one thing we are looking for is the inner happiness, inner satisfaction. We can't dispute it, right? Someone may phrase it that I am looking for the happiness of Allah Ta'ala. They also, you will feel that the happiness of Allah Ta'ala is my happiness. So the common denominator is happiness. Then working towards the denominator, each one has got a different approach. He says, if I've got abundant wealth, then I will find that happiness, that satisfaction. The other one says that if I get that name and that influence, people talk about me, then I'll find that satisfaction. The third person says, no, I must win the World Cup. The winning goal, I must call the thing. And I will get the publicity, the television, everything. So I will get my satisfaction in that. The other person is thinking, oh man, I must get that particular girl, you know, then I'll get my full satisfaction. So the common denominator is the same. All of us are looking for the same thing, happiness. But the approach towards the happiness is different. So the mistake is in the approach. Now, anything else besides the happiness of Allah Ta'ala is uncertain, insecure, right? You don't know, the investment may work out, it may fail. Though for the last 6 months I'm listening to the story, Sabref is closing many of its departments. 6-7 months of hearing. So now those that were employed in that company, they felt so secure. Hey, this job here, it's a lifeline. Fuel, energy is a lifeline. You can't do without it. So when you can't do without it, you know, the job is secure. But now suddenly they came up and they said, now they're closing this. So 70-80% of the staff are going through a severance package or something they're going through. But they felt so secure. So this is the world. The world is telling you, I'm very, very insecure. I can't predict, I can't confirm, I can't promise the future. It's so uncertain. Everything is uncertain. Life, uncertain. Wealth, uncertain. Name and fame, uncertain. You got the name, right? And suddenly Allah Ta'ala forbid, Allah protect everything you got, right? And suddenly your child went into drugs, right? Then, or you shot up fame, you know, so much of fame. And your child, Allah forbid, became an LG. How do you feel? If you were a public orator, in the public eye, and suddenly, oh, the child, you know, it was, you had such a dream about the child, and at some moment he just turned around you. How do you feel? And more especially if it was a girl that turned around, how do you feel? So is there anything that is secure in this world? So we have planted our hopes in the wrong place. We feel this is the security, he feels that is the security, he feels that is the security. And Islam is not telling us that don't work for some material. Okay? But how beautiful is the plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? He says work for your mental well-being. You feel mentally secure enough. Don't work towards wealth as though wealth is the goal. If you want to be working towards wealth as though wealth is the goal, then there will be no point that you cut off wealth and wealth and wealth, continuous just going in a circle. You need something for a little of security. It's alright, no problem. So as far as the wealth is concerned, it is just for you to achieve that mental solace and security. And for the mental solace and security, different folks need different commodities. Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he gave all his wealth. He felt comfortable, he felt relaxed, he felt at ease, happier than at the time he had the wealth. And the other person is offering so much of gold, and Rasulullah is outwardly, openly rejecting it. Very firmly rejecting it. And explain, today you are giving this, tomorrow you will be stretching your arms. So you need this for your mental well-being. Abu Bakr doesn't need it. So the ease that deen has offered here is all will not be treated the same. Some person is living in a 5-star, so he needs 30,000, 40,000, 50,000 to run his home, right? Until he doesn't meet the 50,000, he can't run his home. He feels relaxed, he feels comfortable when he's made the targets. Right? And someone is living in a shack, he's got 100 rand, 200 for the day. Is more than happy. I got that. I met my target. Tomorrow is another day. So he is happy with this settlement, and he is happy with that settlement. So the idea is to get the mental ease. And there may be variations in the mental ease. He needs something else for his ease. He needs something else for his mental ease. So Allah Ta'ala leaves it to the individual. That see what you require for your mental ease and satisfaction. Now why does it make it so open and easy? Because if your mind is not at ease, will any of your ibadah be right? Now you're in namaz, but now you're worried, now I can't make my targets, this month I'm a failure, what's going to happen to me? What's going to happen to my wife? What's going to happen to my children? So your mind is all upside down. So here we are saying, no, you get your mind right, and you work from there onwards. the mind, you work it, get it right, and you work from there onwards. What you need for your mental satisfaction is get that much, and then carry on. It's all right. You need 1.5 million for your mental ease. Work towards that. You need 5,000 for your mental ease. You work towards that. You need 500 rands. You work towards that. Enough. But avoid this. That money is the goal. So that money doesn't لا تقفوا in the حد, doesn't stop at any point. One point and you got a different target. One target and you got a different target. Don't run in that circle. In philosophy they call it circular thought. Why they call it circular thought? It's because you're just going in a circle. You're not getting out of that circle. See? When you're in a circle, can you come out of it? That's why they call it, you're going in a chakkar now. You can't come out of that circle. You're just stuck there. So, Deen is telling us, alright, this is what you need for your well-being. Nobody's stopping you. Enjoy that. Take that amount. But then, stop at that point. Don't you just carry on and on. There's a deeper meaning to life. Understand what's the meaning to life and work towards the real goal. Where people have failed, today especially, where they failed, is the thought of the hereafter is deleted from their minds. They deleted the thought of the hereafter from their minds. So when the thought of the hereafter is deleted from your mind, then there's no goal in life. When there's no goal in life, then you don't understand what's the purpose of life. You're playing ball, right? So everybody knows what is the idea in the game, right? The idea is to get the ball to the goal, right? That's the idea. But now it's a cup final, right? And the one in the defense or the center forward is playing some games, is entertaining the spectators, etc. What will happen? They'll give him a card to get out of the game, right? Because you lost the goal. What are you doing? The spectators are getting miserable. Your team manager is getting miserable. Okay, this person is right in his head. You know, it's such a crucial moment. It's lose or win. You know, what it could mean, what this could mean for our future, our integrity, our reputation. What is this person? He's signing us out. He's not conforming to the team spirit. So what's gone wrong with this person? So they feel so miserable about it. So the whole team will feel miserable because of your misbehavior. So the world can only be right if the goal is right. If the goal is right, then the world is going right. But if the goal is not right, they haven't ascertained the goal, then the goal will definitely, mankind will definitely be in a state, in a chaotic state. I mean chaos. Well, Mufsab Rahmatullah was explaining this, you know. If I remember it was 1985, 84, 85, West Street Masjid. So approximately 47, 48 years from now. I can remember Qari Sahib from Mzinto gave the khutbah. I had to give it very short and the namaz very short because Sahib didn't know about the timings. The timing, he just overlapped the time, so he had to shorten it and complete the Jummah. So he says, what is the position of a Muslim? The position of a Muslim is there is a massive inferno, right? And thousands of flats and blocks are all in danger. I think it's going like a wildfire. And you have been sent, you the head of the fire brigade, you are sent to go and extinguish the thing. If it is just a 2 minute delay, forget the homes, people can roast to death. And you are sent, or the whole entourage you sent to go and put the thing off. Now, on the side of the road, you're seeing some soccer carrying on, some cricket, some hockey, something, right? And you say to yourself that Islam is not so strict, you know. You can entertain yourself. Let me just entertain myself, and then you can do this in its time. And you put it there. You said, they told you that in 3 minutes that thing will go. and you put 20 minutes there. Now, the head got to know that this is what happened. What will happen? As a result, hundreds of lives were lost, homes were burnt, everything was turned to ash, right? So what will the head do? One is they'll penalize you. One, they'll say you're a traitor. One is you're a sellout. Won't they say that? So, even more, people's home is in fire, deen is in fire, their lives are in fire, right? And whilst all this is in fire, so you want to go and celebrate, make merry, etc., etc., and allow them to burn Jahannam, allow them to perish, allow them to go and destroy themselves, and you don't feel anything about it, then in the records of Allah Ta'ala, aren't you a sellout? Aren't you a traitor? The whole team is working, the Muslim team is working towards a certain goal, and then you've turned off completely, and aren't you a traitor? Didn't you betray them? So we are talking of this verse, Ala inna awliya Allahi la khawfun alayhim wa la hum yahzanun. So there's two things to this verse. One is the friends of Allah Ta'ala, right? And the second aspect of this verse, La khawfun alayhim wa la hum yahzanun. No fear and no grief, no stress. So we need to understand who is the friend of Allah Ta'ala. Because we are in such a time now that we are used to, every person is used to give his own interpretation, own explanation. I got my explanation, you can't come and tell me what I was doing. Second person got his own interpretation. To deen, to any situation, I know it, and I can just quote something and tell you that no, what I'm saying is right. And because I can quote something, I can substantiate in the way that I like, so then you must accept what I say. So each person has got a mind of his own. See, he's got a mind of his own. I ask you, can there be a closure? Now this is what exactly the hadith is saying. I'jabu kulli dhi ra'ay. Every person has become self-opinionated. He is feeling that what I feel is right. Our style was that we heard our elder what he said. Sometimes it appealed to us, sometimes it didn't appeal to us. But he's got an elder, we had the confidence that he's an elder, he's got a great experience, he understands it. Maybe my understanding, my experience is not as good as his experience, and I should relent now. In time I should ask him, alright, I just want to know this thing, what's going on here. No, what I say, what I feel. So each one has got a mind of his own. And then, when you've got a mind of your own, then you're waiting for the consequence. When the consequence comes, oh, now I understood. For the consequence to come sometimes, it takes 20 years, 10 years, 15 years. Sometimes, like I was going to show you, right? Sometimes back, there was some misdemeanor with the student, right? So, nicely, respectfully, we sent him home. Right. So, one senior person in the madrasa wanted to know why was he packed and sent home. So there was a problem, and I wished to just keep it. Oh, you must be transparent. So I didn't show the transparency, I just made a story, and I came out of it. Now, I had some understanding in my mind what normally happens. I just kept it. Right. Outwardly it would seem that he had the right to ask. Outwardly it seemed that the transparency was the better thing. But I felt the other way around. That no, the transparency is not the better thing. Send this person quietly, he must go on. Alright, everything finished. It took about 7 years. 7 years or 9 years. This person that was complaining, his son, was caught in a similar thing. Right. Now I asked him, must I bring this in front of all the ustads that he wanted previously, or must I just brush it under the carpet? So, Mullah, it took me 9 years to understand it. I had already reached that point. It took him 9 years to understand that why I'm doing this. Well, It supplants izzat, his father's izzat, everybody's izzat. So the person is very intelligent, super intelligent. But obviously when the child does something that's against your reputation, how do you feel? But we can work away around it without spoiling the person's reputation. I know it, he knows it, one, two persons know it, it's enough, man is gone. So he feels that his reputation is not being affected. And now you want a transparent style, say, let everybody know. So tomorrow if that happens to your own child, then you can't apply a different standard, apply the same standard. And then you will feel very miserable about it. My child, my reputation, you're feeling so down, feeling so miserable. So then that means we have to create different standards for the next person's child and for your child. So what's so special about your child that we create a different standard? So the easy thing was, do you have the level of confidence in your elder or not? Or do you have a confidence in your own thought? One musafir came to the masjid. Showing you, this is a zamana. Ya'jabu kulli thi ra'i bi ra'i. You can't even give a decent opinion, a suggestion to anybody. He's got his own mind. So what's the use of telling him? So many a time, you know, tell the person, what do you feel about it? So you feel it all. Because it's going to be distressful to look for a solution for the person when the man has got a mind of his own. And afterwards, he'll do what he needs to do. But now, just to run it through you, say, no, I asked. So he'll do that just to appease himself. But you see this, nafskachor, this thief of the heart. Now that it takes an experience here to understand the chore that's inside. And many a times he can't say it to you, because he can see you on the defense. See, you're on the defense, you're on the attack. Say something, you're on the attack. So things that can be sorted out in 2 minutes, it'll take you 10 hours. Still you won't get there. What do you gain? Do you gain anything? You can see now, you tag the person, but he's on the attack. Whatever you say, he's on the jam. If he's not saying it, then mentally he's saying it, because from the facial expression you can make out, وَلَتَعْرِفَنَّهُمْ فِي لَحْنِ الْقَوْلِ. And see from the facial expression what the man is up to. Say, well, what you want? A lot of times you get people asking for names, children's names. Right. So my general answer is, what you all thought of? So they'll say, oh, you thought of this one, yeah, this one. Say, all right. From that 7 names that you counted, which one you like most? So you like Jamila, said that. Mashallah, I draw with you. So now they already made up their minds, and they want to pass it with you. Because they feel now they pass it with you, they'll get the barakat. But if you say, you know, if they ask you, and you said, give the name Hasina. No, but is there some other name can we give? So now instead of you stressing the whole thing, ask them what's in your mind. Because you already made up your mind that you're going to do this. You just came to run it with us. You can make out from the style. You can make it out. You just come here just to run it with us. So you came to run it with us. MashaAllah, JazakAllah. You can't tell everybody his mistakes, because he's mentally not prepared to accept the mistake. They come to the mashayikh now, this is for barakat. What do you do? You get some barakat in it. You get some blessings, then let's go. So that if I have the barakat, who apni islah ke liye aata hai? Who comes for the islah? Because one word of islah you tell, the face gets pulled up, the relation gets severed, the communication is affected. So then what's the need? You can see now that they're not mentally prepared. They just came for barakat's sake. So give the barakat, carry on. So now, you know, take a person, like I told this person here, took him 9 years to come to his understanding. They said, no, well, now I understand. And I had to stick it for 9 years. 9 years just to protect that person and his father's integrity. He also comes from a reputable family. Him, his reputation, and his father's reputation. Now if I had divulged that, his reputation would have gone, his father's reputation would have gone. So I just stomach it, just keep it to myself. But for 9 years I stuck the thing. And after 9 years now, I told him, see, when it happened to his own child, now I have to spill the beans and tell him, see, I won't say the exact thing happened then, but it wasn't very far from that. Now, if your child's story is thrown out in the open, a dirty linen is thrown out, how you would have liked it? So, some say that people are not so fair. They talk like they're fair, they talk like they want justice, they talk like they want, they're not prejudiced, etc. But how many are like that? You get one nowadays, that Islam, whole Islam thing. I would say you get one in a thousand was really there for Islam. When you tell him anything, you break him to pieces. He's still in peace. You break him to pieces, but he's still peaceful. The cordial, the happy, the cheer, everything is still there. Nothing is broken. But now you're going to correct them. So the standards have gone so, so low. You wonder why there's so much of ikhtilaf, etc. But then we're not looking at the root. The root is the heart, is our saluhat. This thing comes right, and the life comes right. So we're looking at why ikhtilaf, and why these differences, and why. But are we looking at the heart, at the root of the problem? No, nobody's thinking of looking at the root of the problem. We're trying to fix the branches, but the root is just the same. Kya hoga? You're going to get the quality of the fruit definitely depreciating. And you're trying to wonder now why, and just add something, some hormones, etc., just to get, enhance the taste, bring up the size. But a hormone is a hormone. So, this person is coming to the masjid. Right? And I say everybody interprets it in his own way. And sometimes the correction needs a small adjustment. Today there was a person, we're showing you how it happens, right? So the person got a whole, you know, if I had heard his whole story, it would have taken me about 1 hour to listen to the story. But in that second line, I must try and figure out what is the bottom line. What is the catalyst? Let's pick it out. So now, he is a professional person, right? And he's talking that language. And I can see he wants to give the story. Right? And in the meanwhile, I haven't got the time. Because Saturday, around the time he come, and it has got about 15 minutes to round up for a Ustad's program. And now I have to give it. So I have to be just picking out what is the problem. So I asked him, do you know what's the meaning of Islam? So he was an educated person. So he said, peace, submission. He said, no, not peace, it's submission. Islam, the root word is submission. So I ask you, the way you are discussing all these things here, there may be some type of physical submission, but mentally are you in submission? Have you submitted yourself mentally? That is what Allah is complaining, كُلَّمْ تُؤْمِنُوا وَلَكِنْ قُولُوا أَسْلَمْنَا. Mentally there is no submission, outwardly there is some conformity. But mentally, are you in submission? So, say, Imam, I don't think I'm there. It was good of him. You get some class of persons who will say the truth, who say it as it is. Then it's easy to work with the person. Because you can see now from the way he's presenting himself, you can make it out what's the root. You know, it's not a thing of perfection, but it's a thing of you in that field and you get to know it very easily. Why? Because you're working in that. When you're working in that, so you know the nitty-gritties, you know the ups and the downs. You know that Bashir Bhai from Cape Town, he's ex-Marisburg, right? He says in the 60s he went out to Jamaat for the first time. So on the return, Bombay, he got some friends and relatives. So he said, I want to see a Hakim. So the Hakim Sahib just felt his pulse, so he got a stone in the kidney. So he laughed. The king, the Hakim, was very upset, because he's a very famous, popular Hakim. Hakim Ajmeri, right? Very popular. Hey, this man is touching my hand, it's a kidney. Where's the reasoning? So the rehber that took him now, he had to just calm the whole thing. He says, no, Africa ke jungli hai. They are from Africa, but jungli, so don't worry about him. So he just calmed the whole situation. Bashir Bhai came back. The first week he had to have some pain to go, just the stone in the kidney. So you get into a thing and you get to know. So I told this person, you see, Islam is, the meaning of Islam is submission. And submission will be true when there is mental submission and when there is physical submission. Then you are true. Otherwise, one leg in Islam, one leg out of Islam. You are not in full submission. If you are in full submission, then you won't have this problem. It took me a little bit of time to explain it, but the third time you got it. You know, now I understood it. It's total submission. That means that there will be two types of situations. Right? One situation, I submitted myself, right, to a situation, to whatever it was, I submitted myself. Namaz time, I gave myself for the time, right? I submitted myself. Roza, I did, I submitted myself, right? I needed to close my eyes from a certain area, I submitted myself. But the difficult one is when there's mental submission. He's telling me something, and there must be submission now. Submission to what? To the Sunnah. And the Sunnah, what is saying? Khudil afwa, hold on to forgiving. Hold on to forgiveness. They will be ulta sida, upside down, right? But what does the standard of submission require under the circumstance? The circumstance requires khudil afwa. You hold on to overlooking people's faults. Hold on to it. Khudil afwa. So you hold on to it. You know, there's a story in hadith, is quite repeated in Bukhari Sharif, other kitabs as well. Uyayna ibn Hisn, he wanted to talk to Umar radiallahu anhu. He's a villager, and his nephew is Hur ibn Qais. And Hur ibn Qais is part of the shura of Umar radiallahu anhu. So Uyayna is telling his nephew, Hur ibn Qais, can you just arrange a meeting? He said, right, it's on. He comes up, and now he's complaining, Umar, you're not just, you're not doing this. So naturally, Umar was upset. When I'm doing so much for you, right, and you're passing this type of a message, then it creates uneasiness within the ranks of the community. That you're supposed to get, say, 1,000, and I'm giving the whole community 2,000, and you're still complaining. And you're complaining now, this word is going to go right throughout the community, that there's no justice that is meted out. So I ask you, will there be peace that will prevail there? There'll be chaos, there'll be problems. So Umar was upset. He wanted to discipline the person. Hur ibn Qais is the council, is the shura. He says, Amir al-Mu'minin, Allah Pak says, Khudil afw wa amur bil ma'ruf. Right? وَأَعْرِضْ عَنِ الْجَاهِلِينَ and إِنَّ هَذَا مِنَ الْجَاهِلِينَ. You hold on to forgiving and go on encouraging, but this person is a jahil. And وَقَفَ عُمَرْ وَكَانَ وَقَافًا عِنْدَ كِتَابِ اللَّهِ. Umar Ali just held straight, you know. He held on straight. And he was such, when the Quran was recited to him, straight you will apply the brakes. Now, you compare this against, I was explaining the students to you, that you compare this against the statement of Hazrat Ji Ramatari, Ghussa pass na'ay. Don't even allow the ghussa, the anger to come close to you. And there, Umar radiallahu anhu, he got angry, but he stopped in his tracks straight away. So if you Umar, then you can apply that. That one verse is quoted and you stop straight away. So this concept I have to explain, because if you were around 1960, you will appreciate it, right? Now, I remember, we're children now, so one of the boys that was a bit elder than us, so we got a car. So we just jumped in for the ride. Nothing else. Going for a ride, let's go for a ride. So I can remember now, the stop street is about 200 meters away. He's applied brakes up here. Popping the thing, popping. Until he comes there, now he got it right. Now that was then, right? Now can you apply that? See the speed and the maneuvers, the overtakes. Can you apply that now? Now you can't apply it. Now you have to have odd brakes, dead brakes. So that's what Hazrat is saying, by Musa Pasnaya. You not like Umar radiallahu anhu. One verse is quoted, he stops on his tracks. Stop, like today, you know. Immediately, you just press the button, and he stops straight on his tracks. So there is no accident whatsoever. So you have to act like that 19 foot sack, you know. 200 meters, they keep pumping the thing. So when you come to the crunch time, then you still got a smiling face. Otherwise, crunch time, you may just lose, you may just explode. So rather than bring about goodness, you will bring more corruption, confusion. Now, the whole thing again is again submission. You know, that submission is not there. So there's no progress. And maybe doing a little bit of namaz, doing something, whatever else, right? But that real progress, that progress in this line, you're not going to enjoy the progress. You may get some one, two actions right. You will not dispute that. But are you getting the real desired progress? The progress is subject to the level of submission you give. If you don't give the submission, then you'll be delayed. It's a delayed action now. The others are moving, and you're still laid back. Are you wondering, why am I laid back? And why is this person came late? But he is progressing. Because he's taking it, and he's working exactly like how you tell him. So there's an open passage. Communication is open. Telling him he's applying it. Telling him he's applying it. You're telling him and he's applying it. When he's applying, he's progressing. It's an access. And when there isn't this thing here, then how do you expect it to happen? How can it happen? So this is where we are stopped here. That we don't find that level of submission. And this is now, someone asked us more time, Mr. Rahmatullahi, you know, aur silsilo mein humne dekha ke fana bilkul akhir mein aata hai. Aapke yahan to awwal qadam mein fana hota hai. In other silsilas, that fana comes right to the end. And in your silsila, the teaching that you give, you are saying that at the first step is fana. So Hazrat said, yeah, mera tariqa kuch aisa hi hai ke awwal qadam mein fana ki zarurat hai. That you give yourself on the first day. So you make yourself like a Play-Doh. When you gave yourself like a Play-Doh, you gave the operator the chance to design you according to how he wants. But now from the first day you became like concrete. You said, now concrete facts I need. So is it going to be easy for you? It's going to be very difficult. I'm just giving you a Play-Doh and look at concrete, right? Now you say that you want it to happen, but you want to be acting as strong as concrete. With concrete facts. But is it going to happen? It's going to happen. So whether you like it or not, you'll have to become like that Play-Doh and just let him give you the shape. And you do that and you see how quickly. It becomes not only quick, not only swift action, but it becomes, you know, I can promise you, in the house of Allah, it becomes an enjoyable exercise. Not swift, and not just quick, but it becomes a real enjoyable exercise. But the whole secret is the level of submission you give. So it's like a Play-Doh, and he knows this submission, so I can maneuver it and I can change it as I want. Give it this shape, give it that adjustment, shape it this way, shape it that way, and he's going to take it straight away, so I can give it what I want. So at some level, we'll have to say, oh, I give myself up. Now then the person feels, alright, he's given himself up, so I can do as I want. So that requires i'tiqad. You know, if you look at the talimat of mashayikh, He says the first thing is i'tiqad. You've got the trust, you've got the i'timad, you've got the confidence. So you've got the confidence and the trust in him, you're not going to cross question him. You see, or do, he says do it and he'll do it. Because this is your Islam, your reformation. Do it. Right, you're going to check up, cross check, hey, why this, why that. So he says that you're supposed to be the sheikh, I'm supposed to be the murid, right? Because cross check. Yeah. You're going to a doctor. Do you apply the same rules? Prophet said, open your mouth. You look a little funny at that time, isn't it? But if you know what's good for yourself, you open your mouth. Now you say, like bite? You just have to do all the funny things, right? Because you know it is for your own good. You've got the confidence in you, you're doing it. Although you're looking very funny at the time, but you should not do it at the time. Your health means something great for you. So is your deen important to you? If your deen is important, then why don't you apply the same soon? Umar radiallahu, there's a small discussion between Umar and Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu. This also comes, I think, about 10 times in Bukhari Sharif. Imam Bukhari is spot on. See, he'll bring it 10 times, and each time that he brings it, he'll pull out a new lesson. He'll pull out a new lesson. But he is spot on. He's too sharp, too smart. A lot of people will condemn him, but they haven't understood the person. If you look at the person very deep, say, oh, he's got it here. I didn't study it nicely. I didn't apply my mind, so I didn't get it properly. You apply your mind, you'll get something. You get gems upon gems, right? That's our blessing abundantly. So, there's a discussion, and in the discussion, has Abu Bakr radiallahu say something strongly. And has Umar radiallahu is upset. How can you use these words? So, Umar got upset and he turned. Umar is going in front, Abu Bakr is pursuing him, asking for a maaf. He is not interested, he's upset now. Now look at the beauty of the hadith. The hadith says that when you're upset with the person, alright, max is 3 days, within 3 days you must settle. So what is the hadith telling you? The hadith is telling you this much, that when you're going to be upset, it's going to be taking time for you to settle. So alright, we give you the chance, 1 day, 2 days, but 3 days is not too much now, or both things, enough now. Now just come off. Now it's your pride that will come in. We know that you're human. We know that you'll have the high waves and you'll have the high tide and the low tides, all this will happen. But now, it's not always high tide, it's not always low tide. It's high tide, then in a day, 2 days time, that you will settle, understand. So when you have settled, take the initiative, you will settle things. Now you say, oh, how can you tell me this, and why, what my reputation, what people will think about me? See, that's not shaitan. See, what people will tell about me, and why he's telling me this, and mane hambravej, he's hambraving me. So that is now shaitani. See, that is not Rahmani, that is shaitani. That now my reputation, people hold me in esteem and respect. In front of them now I'm getting jacked up here, I'm getting now reprimanded in front of people. So what will be the left? What will be left of my reputation? I'm gone now, finished now. I'm a kachara, finished. So you make it the tafsir of it yourself. You see that it's self-opinionated. See where it starts off. That's the problem today. This pride, this takabbur. We don't want to accept that it's my pride. We don't accept that it is my takabbur. No, I am right. I'm right. And I tell you, most of the people have got it. I'm telling you, not in riddles, I'm saying you straight, that most people have got it. You see the person, and you make out alright, the moves, the maneuvers, etc. You make it out that the takabbur is coming and obstructing the person's progress. He wants, he's trying, but he doesn't want to identify his problem. He's got the cancer, but he's treating himself with an aspirin. So he's suppressing the symptoms a little bit, but is he improving in any way? So you get the thing out of the system, then you'll improve inshallah. But you don't want to do that. How are you going to improve this? So, now, Abu Bakr is following him. Umar has entered the house and he closed the door, finish. But now, Abu Bakr radiallahu, the concern of death, the concern of akhirat, the concern of Allah Ta'ala is so great in him that he is feeling for that moment also, just few minutes, but he's feeling totally shattered down. You know, I think of ourselves, you know, that if we were in that situation, when I tried, he closed the door on me now, so he must understand what he's doing. I tried what I could do. He is not that. He is Abu Bakr. He is Abu Bakr. And he is the one, alaykum bi sunnati, sunnati al-khulafai rashidin. Now he says, now, the best thing now is to go to Rasul-e-Pak-Sul-Sah. وَلَوْ أَنَّهُمْ إِذْظَلَمُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ جَاءُوكَ. So they wrong themselves, then the recourse is, come to you. فَاسْتَغْفَرُ اللَّهَ وَاسْتَغْفَرَ لَهُمُ الرَّسُولِ. That Rasul-e-Pak-Sul will make dua and maghfirat for Allah. So he tried here, and it didn't work out. So the recourse now, come to Rasul-e-Pak-Sul and ask him to intercede. Rasulullah sees Abu Bakr coming from the distance and says, "And the sahibakum ghamara." He has caught himself in some problem. From the distance, he's making out, "And the sahibakum ghamara." He's got himself in some problem. Came in. Meanwhile, Umar radiallahu anhu realized, "Hey, I should have done this. Abu Bakr, he's greater than my father, and he came to my door. I just turned I closed the door on him. I did the wrong thing." So now he is really, really upset now. He's coming, running towards the majlis. Can you get the whole picture? Now, Abu Bakr is presenting his case, and Rasul-e-Pasim is getting upset with that Umar radiallahu anhu. And Abu Bakr is saying that it was my wrong. And Rasulullah said, not interested. Hal antum tariku li sahibi. See the words, profound. Hal antum tariku li sahibi. Will you spare my sati for me? Will you spare my sati for me? My companion. Will you spare for me? I invited toward Islam. All of you hesitated, came with a delay, right? You were hesitant, you were reluctant. This man I invited and responded straight away. So can't you just spare him for me? See that? So, there's a lot of things to be learned from that. But one genuine sabak is, you'll have some seniors, right? In every community you'll have a senior. And the senior will have an understanding, right? And you will have to rely on his understanding. For your own progress, you will have to rely. Don't apply your reasoning against his reasoning. Look at the story of there was the cross-pollination of the dates, right? Tabirun Nakhl. So, Rasulullah SAW asked them, why stop this? I suppose, perhaps, Rasulullah SAW considered this something to be an act of superstition. Crossing the trees, right? And that would bring about a bumper crop. So because he felt it was something to do with superstition, he asked them to stop it. So not a question is asked, Sahaba Ikram left it out 1 year. And they suffered the crop at the end of the year, right? So they presented the whole case to Rasulullah Asam. And then Rasulullah understood that it's not to do with superstition, it is to do with procedures. And you cross the tree and something happens there and you get a better crop. Then he says, alright, antum a'lamu fi umuri dunyakum. How to manage your wealth, etc. You know it better, so you carry on. So long as it's not superstitious, so long as it's not breaking the principles of the Sharia. Now when I look at this hadith, and I'm thinking to myself, had the Sahaba Kiram not gone with the line of Rasulullah, with the direction of Rasulullah, they would have definitely enjoyed a better bumper crop, right? They would have enjoyed it. But would they have secured the Mubarak dua of Rasulullah? You can do anything after that, then you wouldn't have got the dua. Now, can you find a compensation for the dua? Can you find anything? Now, they suffered the crop, but they feel the inner satisfaction, alright? We didn't enjoy what we had envisaged, what we had projected, right? But definitely we got the Mubarak dua of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. We suffered there, we can always recoup, right? 1 year we can recoup, the next year inshallah. But the dua of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, can we recoup that dua? It was lost, it's lost. We can't get that again. So an elder sometimes, he may err in his direction, right? It may not be against the Sharia, it may be a worldly thing, it may be an error in his reasoning, right? But it is our blessing to just go with him. It's our fortune to go with him, right? At the end he will realize, and in the meanwhile you have got his dua, right? Number two is this, that it may be an error in the person, right? But it is for us to still maintain the same level of respect. He may have made a mistake. Like Abu Bakr radiyallahu, he says, Kuntu Azlam, Ana Kuntu Azlam, I was wrong. And Rasulullah says, not concerned. He is just saying, Umar radiyallahu, Al Antum Tariku Li Sahibi, won't you just spare my friend for my sake? So, an elder may be erring at times, right? But it's the right thing now, just to break up, move away, dissociate, pull up your face. So now has he got a room now to speak to you openly, right? Has he got the room? So this, you see this lesson of submission, this khud rai, apni rai, when they say fana, apni rai ko, apni samaj ko, apni faham ko tod do. Now, it's like Play-Doh, right? When it's like Play-Doh, the one that is playing with it, doesn't he feel nice? Speak like that, however, make a tunnel, make a bridge, make a palace, how nice he feels. But if it's concrete, then can he play with that thing? All these missiles I didn't have in my mind, now it just opened out, right? This sort of Allah's fazl. We are talking about the person entering the masjid. When I branch off, I said, everybody got a definition of his own. So that's what complicates the whole process of Islam. But you got your own definition now. Now, what's my place then? You haven't come for Islam. You haven't come for correction. So, the one that you have subjected yourself, he's got some reasoning. He's got some reasoning. Time will tell. Right? Like in the madrasa, you got a certain syllabus, right? And although it's an English-speaking community, right? But you will impress upon them that you must do Urdu. A million times I think, why is this people doing this? Why are these people doing this? And the other student said, well, it is the madrasa requirement, and they are my elders, and they know more than I know. The experience is far greater than my experience. Let me just listen to them. Maybe at the end of the road, I'll get to know why they do want me to do the Urdu. I won't know it now, but I will get to know at the end of the road. I get to know, right? Right. So in school they teach geography, history, Afrikaans, right? I ask you, is there any benefit of geography? Any benefit? How much of beef farming they did in Argentina in last year? So koi fayda hota hai? But that's a requirement. If you don't know it, they will fail you. But what benefit, dunya, deen, any benefit you have, nothing. But you still feel, no, I must do it, I must get the marks. Don't you feel that? They talk about history, right? They talk about the Dicking, you know the Dicking road here. You travel to Grahamstown in 10 days, whatever. Kya fayda? But you must know it. Any fayda? If you subjected yourself to the system and you're happy about it, you don't ask. You don't ask anything. But you subject yourself, you know what, at the end of the road, what you're going to get, right? Now, in your dunya, it matters, you prepare to subject yourself for your own aram, for your own comfort. But now, it's an Islami thing, it's a deeni thing, you don't want to subject yourself. How are you going to do this? No submission, no subjection. Because why? My reputation is gone. I'm being reprimanded. Small things, and it's taking off with me. So now, are the roads open now? The roads are jammed now. And the roads are jammed now, so you're coming there just as a ritual. It's a customary thing. Come, and go. Any faida. See this khudra. That's the problem of this day. And that khudra is because of takabbur. Why? So this person is entering the masjid and he's a musafir, so he's quite tired, very very tired. He had 2 rakat namaz, 4 rakat namaz after wuzu. And so tired, he just laid down sleeping. In a few seconds and he's snoring away. Now next to him is one nice well-built person, only India now. And he is engaging in zikr, very deep zikr. So he is seeing this person is snoring away. He shakes him up. Why? You disturb my zikr. I mean the zikr of Allah Ta'ala, in the house of Allah Ta'ala. You're disturbing me. Shook him up, caught him up. So he is pale and yakazati even known. Half asleep, half awake. Tries to go back to sleep. He's so deep. Again he's snoring. Again, he shakes him up nicely. Why? Get up, you're disturbing, man. You can't be making zikr here. Anyway, he's snoring away, third time. Now, he took out his dagger. This Zakir, the one who was making zikr. He took out his dagger. Bismillah, Allahu Akbar. And he spotted him, clean. And now, he's sitting nicely making zikr. You see, the self-opinionated. Right? He's thinking, what can there be more important, anything more important, zikr, wala zikrullahi akbar. He's also got sabdali, but he's got his self-opinion. Now, that self-opinion, did it bring him to the right end, or did it confuse him? See how you get confused. So that's why, when Nabi Sam saw, or Allah showed him, that this is going to be happening in the future, فَعَلَيْكَ بِخَاسَّةِ نَفْسِكَ. Then now be concerned about yourself. Because now people are not in the position to give in. Just a few, like I say, sometimes 1 in 1,000 you're getting, who's prepared to give himself. So you're getting something out of him. But otherwise they're not in the position to accept. They don't accept the mistakes. So now, what are you going to get out of it? Just some sarsari cheese like ehdo. Just tell them some surface things, you know, and all that. That's enough. Because you don't have the capacity for anything more. You've jammed your roads. Then you don't have the capacity. You get someone. Like I was correcting someone. Although I'm not a Qari Sahib, I said, see, your recitation, you need to go and improve it, right? Actually, I'm not a Qari Sahib, but I can make out you got some finer mistakes. You got a terrific tuning. Tuning is too good, but there's mistakes in your qiraat. So, happily he accepted and he says, Mullah, but please, I'm begging you, any mistake you see in me, tell me, openly or secretly, however you want. I must know my mistakes that I can practice it straight away. Now you'll get 1 in 1,000 also, who is prepared to accept. Otherwise you'll say, hey, you know, I've got such a good tune, the whole world is praising me, and who is this person to come and tell me that you're making a mistake? See how the mind can turn. The whole world is praising my recitation. He's not even a Qari Sahib. And he is pointing out my mistakes. He could have turned around. But very sincerely says, I think I'm making a mistake. But point out my mistakes. And I'm not in that position. You go to one Qari Sahib. And really, now sometimes I can point out the mistake. Now it will take time. And sometimes the offer is such that there's a long queue there. So I go, listen to his qiraat, all the mistakes. It will take about 30 minutes. In the meanwhile, namaz time. So if you see now between the namaz, this person correction, go to Qari Sahib, get yourself corrected, move on. So we are talking of Allah inna awliya Allahi la khawfun alayhim wa lahum yahzanun. So the first thing is, then who is the wali? Because the promise is for the wali, no fear and no stress. So what is the meaning of no fear and no stress? And number two is, what is the meaning of wali? So awliya, the singular, wali, right? And the root word is waliyun, right? And waliyun got two meanings. One is to be close and one is to be a friend, right? To be friendly. And both the meanings can apply, right? In the meanwhile, when you talk of a friendship or a relationship or being close, then Allah Ta'ala has got a connection with every creation. Every creation's continuity is subject to it being connected to Allah Ta'ala. If Allah Ta'ala disconnects it, then it's non-existent. So that thing is connected to Allah Ta'ala, and its connection to Allah Ta'ala is its continuity. But if it disconnects itself, there is no, it can't continue. But now when Allah Ta'ala says Allah inna awliya Allah, then he's talking of a special relationship. See, one is I got a friendly relationship, all right, but I got a special relationship. Right? Don't you have it? Right? You coming from Umrah or something, right? So for the friends generally, you bring some zamzam and kajur. But the special friend, for your wife, you will bring that kajur. Tell me the truth. You bring something special, won't you? Something extra special. Right? So similarly now, a special friend, one is arm. Right? The run of the mill, right? And what is the special friend? So Allah inna awliya Allah. So that's the special friend of Allah Ta'ala. Now, how do you make out that he is the special friend of Allah Ta'ala? How do you make out? So there's about three or four symptoms that they show that this person is a genuine friend of Allah Ta'ala. One is, he loves someone for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. He dislikes for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. He loves for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. So if it's going to be a gift, it'll be only for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. If it's going to be avoiding, only for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. So the love is based on the love of Allah Ta'ala. Nothing else. No ulterior motives. Talum Dioban of Ustad Mirat Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh. So the Ustad also took an additional duty. So his duty is also to look at the admissions. He's teaching Hidayah for about 50 years. Hidayah Akhirin, most difficult. And number two, he has to look at the admissions. So now, an old student came in and he brought a bucket of desi ghee. Now, desi ghee is an expensive commodity for Indian standards. Special farm ghee. Said, my father gave it a lot of love, respect, and gave this. So, you know, I don't accept these gifts and all that. Insisted, my father won't feel nice. So, I take this and leave it on the top shelf there, right? Leave it there. Not even 2 days passed. So he brought his one friend. I said, Hazrat, can you arrange for his admission? So I said, you know that ghee there, just bring it first. Or I take it back, right? Now, what's your request now? Now the man is silent. See? So first it was my father, friendship, love and all that. And now, when the ghee was returned, right, that he was returned, now he's silent, he can't speak. So that means that it wasn't a sincere friendship, it was a matlabi friendship. So the friendship is only based on the love of Allah Ta'ala, nothing besides the friend, nothing besides that. So that's the first sign of a wali. If it's a friend, the friendship is based only on the love of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, no material gain, no material loss. Nothing, absolutely nothing, nothing material. It's only for the sake of Allah Ta'ala, no other reason. Now that's the first sign. من أعطى لله ومنع لله وأحب لله وأبغض لله فقد استكمل الإيمان. It's a sign of a wali. It's a sign of the perfection of Iman as well. You love only for Allah Ta'ala, no material gain, nothing, absolutely. You see, outwardly the person is showing so much of friendship. But a small, slight maneuver, and the man's morale is totally collapsed. Everything is collapsed. See that friendship of Allah Ta'ala. So Allah Ta'ala doesn't want this friendship to be contaminated. So, you know, pushing this, pushing that, and a contamination in the friendship. He doesn't want that.